Welcome to the One Big Thing Podcast, where inspiration meets transformation. Happy New Year and welcome to the One Big Thing Podcast. I'm Steve Campbell, your host. Thanks for so much for taking the time today. Question for you. If you're married, have a significant other, or have a desire to be married, have you ever had the thought that something seems to be missing? Whether it's intimacy or just passion, you're married, you're raising kids, but it just feels like what you once had when you married your spouse or even in the dating phase doesn't seem to exist. Maybe life has gotten in the way. You're going from ball field to ball field, or time management or budget restraints. Whatever it may be in this season of life, something just seems to be missing. And it's a lack, it's a spark, it's intimacy. Well, this is at the heart of my conversation today with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Ed Savoso. If you're not familiar, Ed will go through his introduction, but Ed has traveled the world in his ministry as he's originally from Argentina. Ed has written several books, many of which that have transformed and changed my life. He has written Anointed for Business, and today we're going to talk about his latest book called Anointed for Romance, which if you've never heard anybody talk about romance and intimacy, you are in for a treat today. Ed has the gentleness to bring a topic like this up, and if I think many of us are being honest, we would love to have more romance and intimacy in our marriage, but it's something taboo that we don't always talk about. It's sensationalized on TV and in media as to what sex should be, but many of us don't know how to make it happen in our own privacy of our own homes. And Ed talks about it today, but again, it's in a very loving way. So if you are somebody that feels like, man, I would love nothing more in this new year to feel like the spark that I once had in my marriage or the reigniting of the flame could come back, then this episode is for you. So you're going to learn ways that you can begin to implement some of the things that Ed has discovered over the course of his marriage, being married to Ruth, in how you really can have an anointed marriage that's full of romance and full of passion. So you're in for a treat. Enjoy this episode with Dr. Ed Savoso. Welcome to the One Big Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Campbell. You know an episode is supposed to take place when you hit a little bit of technical difficulties trying to record it and you have to do a round two. You folks are in for a treat today as I have somebody who's made a tremendous impact on my life, Dr. Ed Savoso, on with us today. And I'm very excited about this conversation because of the impact he's made on my life as a man and as a father and in my pursuit of faith. And we had tried to truthfully record several weeks ago, and it's the only time in the history of recording this podcast, multiple podcasts that I have, where we tried to record and the microphone blew. And it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't cooperate. And we tried a few times before I said, Brother Ed, we're going to have to come back together. And, you know, I think that that's an important leadway into today, because sometimes the things that frustrate us or the unforeseen setbacks can actually become setups. And it gave me an opportunity to really read more into a book that Dr. Savoso is going to talk about today that I think really has the power to impact generations that are trying to navigate this thing called life, especially as spouses, as parents. And so I'm excited for this conversation today. If you are brand new to the One Big Thing Podcast, this is an interview style show. So it's all about me in my late 30s, being a dad and a father, trying to have real life conversations with people of influence from all different walks of life to really culminate around this one big thing or this big idea that can help you if you find yourself in a difficult or challenging season. Really have one idea that can help you move the ball forward. And so I welcome you into this conversation today. Hope you'll check out some other incredible guests that I've had. But this one is a special one just because of a little bit of the rich history that we have. But Dr. Savoso, for those that may not be aware of who you are, you know, what are some things right here at the beginning that you'd want to lay out as part of an introduction?
Well, Steve, it's such a privilege to connect with you. We have been playing kingdom ping pong, right? And I appreciate, I admire what you do. I think for the audience, it will be helpful to know that we connected when you read my book, Anointed for Business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of my many books. And what I love about that book, it really shows that whatever you do in life and you enjoy, it's a projection of a gift that God has given you. If you're not enjoying what you are doing, chances are you're doing the wrong thing. So in Anointed for Business, we broke new ground because anointed was used for religious thing, an anointed song, an anointed sermon. but anointed business. What do you mean business, you know? And then I bring up there the fact that Jesus was a businessman. His apostles were, most of them, business people, or they worked for the government, like Matthew, or medical doctors, later on Luke. And so I have the privilege, going back to your question, with my wife, Ruth Palau, who is the youngest sister of world famous evangelist Luis Palau, to lead a network, or a family, I should call, of about 29,000 influencers in 5 continents. And what do? We take Acts 19:11 literally. God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people when they make themselves available to God. And so they are changing industries and companies and businesses by taking to the marketplace what they receive on Sunday in church.
And that's such a great segue, because almost maybe a decade ago now, I was in my corporate job, and again, working through trying to figure out that God had given me gifts, he'd given me a passion for people, but just feeling like outside of the walls of the church, I wasn't using what I knew God had wired me into my DNA to really make an impact, in not just improve a bottom line or increase revenue, but really do the things that lead to long-lasting impact and changing lives. And I had a pastor at the time who, when I had went and spent some time with him over coffee, he turned around and grabbed this book off the shelf called Anointed for Business. And he said, "You're supposed to read this book." Mm-hmm. And it was one of those books, Ed, you and I didn't know each other from the next person, but I took it home. We had just had my first son, Joshua, which my wife, Stephanie, and I have 4 children. At the time of this airing, my oldest will now be turning 9. And so, you know, it was one of those things. He was a newborn, and I read chapter 1, and then I read chapter 2, and then I read chapter 3 all in one sitting, because I felt like you, not realizing what you had penned in paper, was speaking to my heart, which is, Jesus, I know you've created me on purpose for a purpose, but I don't feel that I'm doing the things that this book described. And so Anointed for Business was really this opportunity for me to see that the people that God has used to change the world many times have dual calls on their life. Yeah. And they use their place in the marketplace to really bring tremendous impact and take the gospel beyond just the 4 walls into where people are doing everyday life and learning how to be successful and to grow in your calling. And so that got us connected. And I remember after reading that book, I had found your Instagram page. And, you know, being the host of the show, I've talked about this so many times. I have such a heart of appreciation for people that have made an impact on my life. And I thought, you know what, I'll send him a direct message. I don't know if he's ever going to see it. And I kind of poured my heart out to you about how much this book had impacted me. And I saw the little bubbles, meaning that Ed Savoso was typing back. And I remember showing my wife in bed, something's happening. And you responded. And who knew that that response would lead to a friendship and really an opportunity for me to be mentored and discipled through Transform Our World and going through, you know, what you've built with this organization. And so I think, and you'd kind of mentioned it the first time that we tried to record, but Ed, you have a little bit of an accent to you too as well. So why don't you help our listeners understand kind of where you're from? And, you know, I think there was a little bit of brevity the first time, so I just don't want us to miss it here around too.
Yeah, I would like to reassure the audience there is nothing wrong with your hearing. It's my accent, okay? I was born and raised in Argentina. I grew up learning speaking Spanish. And when you learn English later in life, it comes out like this, rusty. So you should treat it like a difficult-to-catch radio broadcast. For you millennials, let me show you. There was a time when radio had a dial, and you have to move it and get it. And once you get it there, don't move. And if you enjoy what I have to say, you will tell your friends, I listened to this cool guy who had an accent like Antonio Banderas. And if you don't like it, you tell them there was this old guy who sounded like Henry Kissinger. Remember, the Secretary of State for Nixon. Whichever way, we are going to have fun, because I love life and I love people and I love Steve, and I'm here to encourage you. If you ask me, Ed, How would you summarize the objective of this podcast from my point of view? That you will come to love Mondays as much as you loved Sundays. So often Mondays is a day we don't like. Oh, should I have to go back to work? That's why, you know, in the book that we alluded to, I show that God already gave you gift and anointed you to make the world a better place. But you cannot make the world a better place if you're not happy. And that's where the anointing for business comes on. Yes, I'm from Argentina. Don't blame it on me. I'm forgiven. It's under the blood. But I am delighted to be here with you, Steve.
Let's pause to hear a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Ditch the Suits Podcast. If you're looking to get the most from your money in life, Ditch the Suits has to be your go-to source. Your hosts, Travis Moss and Steve Campbell, they'll talk to you about financial planning topics that nobody in the financial services industry wants you to know about. They're going to expose news and media and headlines because there's no fluff and absolutely no sugarcoating, just relevant topics that can empower you to get the most from your money and your life. Listen to Ditch the Suits today on all major podcast platforms. Yeah, and for even more context, Stephanie and I went through, a 13-week course that you had put together about the ecclesia and really just the word for church. And what I loved about that was it helped you discover who you are and how you're wired, but also kind of where you fit in this larger context of the larger story that's happening. And what Transform Our World has tried to push forward is that the world is full of problems that need solutions, and many times God will bring divine ideas to individuals when they will seek his face and pray, God, use me. He will bring ideas and concepts to you that many times in my career I've experienced. I have these ideas. I don't know where they came from. A lot of times they don't make sense. But until I put myself in position and recognize the problem, it's like you all of a sudden have, and sometimes not the full blueprint, but one idea that can help transform a community or a concept or in culture. And so this group, what I've marveled at and why I wanted to have you on this show, you know, most of the listeners of the One Big Thing are in their 30s, they're in their 40s, they're married, they have children. We have some singles that have been on the show as prior guests. But I think many of us are struggling or trying to understand where do I fit in this world? I understand I have a role as a father, as a mother. I recognize that there are children that are dependent upon me. But when I see what's happening on the nightly news or in the media, or I just don't know what kind of impact outside of child rearing that I'm having. And even on top of that, I'm raising kids, but maybe at the detriment of my spouse and I not being on the same page because we're feeling the stress and the pressure financially of trying to raise children. And so I thought you would be such an encouragement because I can speak firsthand that Stephanie and I, when we are with you and Ruth on Zoom, because you're in California and I'm in Tennessee. But when we hear you speak and we see you lead your family and just the beautiful simplicity that exists within the Savoso family, it really does make us stop and step back and say, I want to have that kind of marriage and impact where there's just an air that when you sign on, there's a lightness. I can see how you and Ruth, you know, work together in tandem to complement each other. And I think that that's really missing for a lot of us today, that we don't see healthy marriages. We might see what social media is presenting as healthy, the perfect family, the perfect picture, the perfect snapshot. But when you really get behind closed doors or you get in a small group with other couples, people will express we're not doing very well, or we're at each other's throats, or we're not communicating, we're co-partnering, or, you know, we're co-inhabitants in a home. And so I wanted to have you on because you have Anointed for Business, which if you're in business or in entrepreneurship, we'll put a link in it. You have to get a copy of that book. But I really wanted to have you on because you've also now taken that same idea of anointing, but put it on marriage and romance. And so I wanted to give you the space to speak about really kind of where this book came from and how for millennials, Gen Xers, Gen Zers, how a book like this, which again, Anointed for Business, was not something very talked about. So when you read it, it's a new paradigm shift for many of us. We had never heard anybody talk about business. Anointed for Romance is kind of following that same idea, which is that marriage is an anointed partnership between you and your spouse, but many of us may not be feeling that way. So talk to us about the book. Where did it came from? Why did you write it? And what's the hope that you come from this book being published?
Well, let me do it in 1-2 punch. You know, sure. The first one, you made reference to Ecclesia, you know, which is one of my books. You know, I'm what is called a phenomenological theologian. That means I don't look at etymology, but I look at phenomena in the Bible. And after I wrote Anointed for Business and other books, and people began to do Monday through Saturday church things that we didn't have language for, right? Like an entire bus company becomes church, where they pray for people, lead people to the Lord. I went back to the scriptures and I asked the question, if the church is so important, and it is, why Jesus mentioned the word church, ecclesia, only twice? And there I learned that ecclesia was a Greek term that the Romans adopted, where two or three people came together, the power of the emperor was delegated to them, and so forth. And then it dawned on me with crystal clarity that the church is not a building. The church is people. And now look at this, Steve. If we are the church, when Jesus said, I will build my church, my ecclesia, what he's saying is, and this goes for the audience, I will build you, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you, so that whatever evil has come your way, greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. And in the old paradigm, we say, okay, hold it. 4 more days until Sunday, and then people will pray for me. No! You are the church, whatever you are. Imagine for a moment, there are so many Christians, whatever percentage you want to play with, let's say 20% of the population are born again. We can really make the world a better place if we go there knowing I am an extension of Jesus Christ in the place where I am. And when people got that, Steve, they realize, if what I'm doing, let's take a nurse. All of us have been in a hospital at one time or another. I mean, those ladies or men that take care of us, why do they do it? It's not an appealing job, right? Because God gave them a gift of compassion, mercy, a lawyer, a policeman, a politician. So we overlook the fact that Jesus was a businessman, that his apostles have fishing companies, or they work for the IRS or things like that. And so when that book came out, Steve, people realized, I don't have to wait for Sunday. I can take Sunday to the workplace, right? And then in my book, there's case study after case study. But then there was a downside, and this takes us to the next book. I am from a generation where ministry was number one and family was number two. But that is also true with business. I mean, people, you know, climb the ladder, get to the top. And when they get there, they realize I lost my family. And at the moment when we are departed from this world, we don't want another tip on investment. We want our family. And then it dawned on me, Steve, that the most sacred thing for God is marriage. Because, no, that doesn't mean, I mean, some people are single, they are happy being single. The most influential person in the world, Jesus Christ, was single. The most outstanding theologian, Paul, was single. One of the leading pastors in the New Testament, Timothy, was single. But most people are designed to love and be loved by someone romantically, and not only up to the honeymoon, and then they focus on kids, but they are to live in a perpetual honeymoon. And what I show in that book, and this may shake some people, so fasten your seatbelt. The supreme act of worship is making love within the sacred boundaries of marriage in the presence of God. I mean, look at this, Steve. I was teaching this to a group of people for the first time. And I told them, are you God's creation? Yes, I am. Did he create your body? Oh, yes, he did. And then I said to the others, close your eyes. Imagine your head. Isn't that wonderful? Your eyes, your lips, your hands, your feet. And people are smiling. And then I dropped the bomb. Picture your sexual organ. Wait a moment. Is that an appendix? I mean, didn't God create the sexual organs, the most sensitive thing in your body through which your DNA will be transmitted or connected with another to give birth? We are here because somebody, male and female, have sexual organs that connected. And then I take people to that passage in Genesis where it says that Adam and Eve became one flesh, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed because they were making love in the presence of God. And that is what we have to recover, because the devil is the prince of darkness. And anything that we are supposed to walk in the light with, I'm not talking about being explicit about love making, but I'm talking about a father and a mother telling their kids, we are attracted spiritually, at soul level, physically. One day you will do that. And we have to recover that, Steve. In one case study in my book, I said, I asked people, tell me about your honeymoon. And they come alive. Oh, 20 years ago, we went to Hawaii. It was outstanding. And then the radar goes blank. And they begin to have kids. They go for a career. I mean, why not have a honeymoon every day?
Yeah.
Love making is legal, is ethical, is biblical, is joyful, is available. Why don't we do it? And it's because there is this veneer of shame about it. Because when we leave the church building, we are bombarded on television and movies and books and novels about a perverted form of sex. And when Steve, you mentioned about your kids. I have a movie director who read the book and says, Ed, I'm going to give this book to my kids just shy of puberty, before they get into puberty. Because the first chapter in the book is God in the honeymoon suite. Mm-hmm. For those that are married, who are believers, what do you think God did that night? Did he cover the eyes and say, call me when you are done? Did he move to the room next door and say, text me so I can come back? No, we live in him, we move in him, we exist in him. He was watching a man and a woman loving each other with spirit, soul, and body unto the glory of God. And Steve, I am passionate about this because I see it in our own walk with the Lord, with all the imperfections we have. We see it in our daughters and their husbands. We see it in our grandkids. And when the Bible says, you and your household shall be saved, it's not just to go to heaven, it's to be saved from all the dirt that hits us. And we can dedicate our sexual organs, we can dedicate our intimacy in marriage and to God. There is an entire book in the Bible devoted to erotic love. So what this is doing is opening the eyes of people, especially millennials and Gen Zs and Gen As, say, wow, now the gospel makes sense to me. Because if you go back, I mean, you're not that old, but think when puberty hit you. All of a sudden, the sexual impulse began to, if not dominate, to permeate your thinking, your emotion, your sensations. And who is teaching them about that? The world, you know? Anyway, so that's why Anointed for Business led to Ecclesia. In Ecclesia, there are other books. Eventually, I said, look, the light that shines the farthest is the one that shines the brightest at home. I had the privilege to be the crusade director for Ruth brother, Luis Palau, the media director. We were all over the world, but I almost lost my marriage and my family because you have to do it. It's the will of God. Souls are going to hell. I said, time out. Then I pulled back and we rebuild. And I tell the story in the book. I'm not telling people everything was roses and perfume. There were very dark moments, but God came through.
Well, and I think, you know, if this is your first time ever hearing on a podcast that God wants you to have intimacy with your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, many people have never heard that and they might shrink back and say that seems strange, but yet will be pulled to things on TV that are very sexual in nature and be attracted to it. But when we don't apply the same idea from Anointed for Business, which that book may not be for everybody, but if you are in a season of hunger and you read something like that, a light bulb goes off that this is what's been missing. And I think it's the same thing when you presented Anointed for Romance and were kind enough to send me a copy. Mm-hmm. At first, the initial feeling was, this seems strange. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel comfortable reading a book about romance and physical intimacy, but if I'm being honest, I know that there is something that I'd love to have in my marriage that is not just meant for, you know, creating children or, you know, whatever it may be. And I think many of us may be struggling with the idea of, you know, passion might be fading or, you know, this idea of intimacy of when we first got together and we were dating, we loved everything about each other because you're discovering about each other. Then when you get married in your honeymoon before children, there's a newness to it. You move in together. And then as you have children, things get more complicated. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not spending as much time because you're going from putting the kids to bed to going to bed yourself. And when you look around, passion doesn't seem to be there. And when passion starts to dwindle, divorce and separation start to become the only solution. And so when I prayed about who can I have on to start the new year in 2025 to create a roadmap for us, I felt very strongly that I was supposed to call you. Because what better time around the new year do we make resolutions and we make declarations? Many times it's about being our best physical self or taking ourselves. What would it look like though if we understood to create a resolution that this is going to be the best year of our marriage, no longer how long we've been married? And what I enjoyed about Anointed for Romance, as you talked about in the book, as I read the first few chapters, there was such an innocence to the way that you pursued Ruth and your long-distance relationship and writing letters that I began to get somewhat discouraged in my own heart reading it because I didn't quite feel that that was my experience prior to meeting Stephanie. In transparency, I was, you know, a Division I athlete, made a lot of mistakes, gave away my virginity, did not save myself for marriage. And sexuality was something that seemed so taboo and things happened in secret and you never talked about it. And as I read yours and Ruth's beautiful love story, there was a sense of, it would have been nice to have that in my marriage, saving myself for someone. But what I enjoy about the book is at the end of every chapter, there's a reflection from you. And one of the most beautiful things you did at the, you know, end of the first two chapters is you had talked about how in Matthew, when it lays out the genealogy of Jesus, there are four women that are mentioned in that genealogy. And as you read this first two chapters, there's a beautifulness to, you know, being an outside observer of what you and Ruth had, but you can begin to, you know, question in high school, I made a lot of sexual mistakes. In college, I gave myself away. I slept with more people than I should have. That now intimacy seems so hard for me to understand because it's been distorted and dirty and it's been used as a tool for pleasure. And now you're trying to tell me that this, when in the right mindset and right framework, is an act of worship unto God. I'm struggling to understand that. And so what you do at the end of these chapters is in these reflections, you had talked about how of the four women listed in Jesus's history, the four of them were tainted in many ways. And yet God purposely chose to include them to show that the broken things of this world can be used as part of a divine restoration and restorative process. And so I would love for you to speak to Ed.
Yeah.
I'm picturing in my head the individual or the couple, if they're listening to this, or many times we get an idea as an individual and then we try to bring it back to our spouse. So I would encourage you, if you have a spouse, listen to this episode. Yeah. But how do we speak to Christian or non-Christian? the couple that has been married for an extended period of time, maybe they have children, maybe they don't, but they would, if they were being honest and sat with you, they would say something is missing.
Yeah.
The joy, the spark, the love, the romance that we once had doesn't seem to exist. Life has got in the way. We've made mistakes. We fought too many times. How do you begin to encourage or provide guidance to help somebody understand your story's not over and you could be one decision away? So how do we encourage those that feel like their marriage is barely hanging on? They've never told anybody and they need somebody to help them understand the story's not over.
Well, let me, I'll address that in a moment, but I think it's very important to revisit, Steve, Jesus' genealogy. Mm-hmm. You know, in Matthew, there are 41 generations. In 37, only the father is mentioned, which was the way they did it. Yeah. But then four women are mentioned. I mean, when I think of ancestors, you like to brag about the good ones. Like Ruth, great-great-great-grand-uncle is Lord Balfour, the author of the Balfour Resolution. When we are in a Jewish setting, she becomes a queen of the party because her great-great-great-grand-uncle, you know, Lord Balfour, who was a prime minister of the UK. So we don't talk about the shady characters. But look who Jesus highlighted or allowed to be highlighted. You have Rahab, a prostitute. You have Tamar, right? Who have to live with her father-in-law to become pregnant for the tribe of Judah, not to be lost. I mean, we talk about the lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, go to the root of that. I mean, it was incestual relationship. Then you have Ruth, the Moabite. That's damaged goods because Moab have his daughters made him drunk to have sex. And then you have Bathsheba. So it doesn't matter how down you are. What really matters is that God will pick you up. To miss a plane by a minute or to miss it by an hour, it requires a new plane, right? So I want to highlight that, and I appreciate your transparency, Steve. And when I wrote the book, I asked God, give me sensitivity, Lord, to those that, and by the way, we are not perfect. We need God's cleansing every day. So I will encourage people to go back to the genealogies and answer the question, why will Jesus list these down and out characters? Because he takes what is broken and makes it into a new vessel. He glues it with gold so that where was the crack, now there is gold there, you know? So that's one thing. The other thing about how do we reignite it? Well, unless it was a shotgun wedding, people got married because they were attracted to each other. They were passionate. And what I explain in the book is that there are four stations. You are attracted to someone. You admire that person. After you are attracted, you say, oh, wow, look at her eyes. Look at the way he does that. So it's attraction, admiration, appreciation. Now we say this is very valuable, and adoration. Not in the theological sense, because only God should be adored, worshiped, but in the sense that he becomes the subject of our devotion. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the loss of intimacy follows the same pattern in reverse. All of a sudden, it's no longer him or her, it's my job, it's my ministry, it's my career. Sports can be brutal, you know, because there's so much demand. So now you not only have your spouse, but you have either another person, real or imaginary, or you have your career. That leads to depreciation. He doesn't understand me. Oh, I don't get the support I should. Then, rather than admiration, we begin to whine. Oh, well, you never do it. And then, instead of attraction, is rejection. But the beauty is this, and this is what I explain in the book. It's a combination of agape love, which is the deposit that God gave to everybody of his grace, with filial love and eros love. You need all three, right? Agape love never goes away. If your marriage is failing, even if you betray your spouse, God hasn't held back agape love. He continues to love you. But when we lose it, it's not on the sexual arena. It's on the filial arena. We no longer talk. We no longer listen to each other. I tell our own story. I mean, we were having a thriving ministry, 4 kids. I was a published author. And Ruth and I stopped enjoying talking the way we did. And then you have to do something. You have to reverse that. And in my case, I made the decision because the tension came because I was always busy. The moment I left the house, he didn't know when I will be back. I'm a pastor. I'm always on call. I made the decision to bring her breakfast in bed every morning. Because I said, I cannot tell you how my day will go. I'm like a doctor in the emergency room. People come, I need to take care of them. But you will know how every day will begin. Just you and I, only the two of us, breakfast in bed. Now, Steve, it's kind of comical. The first day, I felt like Romeo preparing for a date with Juliet, you know. I cook her favorite dish, which is French toast flambé with bananas and rum. I put a carnation with a love note. I said, she's going to melt the moment I give this to her. No way, Jose. She looked at me like saying, what's wrong? You know, I mean, because it's like obesity, you know. What is visible is the last thing to go away. But it took 6 months of every day doing that faithfully until she realized that I had given her my heart, my time. And I gave her the most valuable chunk of time because it was not unusual for me to have 3 breakfasts, one at 6 o'clock at this restaurant, another at 7 o'clock across the street, and back to this one at 8. I mean, I was a AAA guy. And I'm giving that to my wife. And listen to this, Steve. Now we fight who will bring breakfast to whom every morning. That half hour, we laugh, we listen to music. And this is what we agreed to do. Don't talk about anything negative in the morning. Choose something the night before that is affirming, because that releases the right hormones in your brain. And then spend a little bit of time with passionate kissing and hugging, because that releases other hormones as well. You see, and let me mention this. In the book, I said to people, where do I begin? Well, you need minimum 4 honeymoons, but with the same spouse. When your marriage fails, you keep having honeymoons, but with different people. The first honeymoon usually gets very good reviews. The second one, this is very important, has to happen before your kids go to high school. Because that's when your wife gets in touch with her younger years and the longings that she had and the dreams that didn't happen. So before they go to high school, boom, have a honeymoon. Be passionate about it. The third one has to happen before the empty nest syndrome hits. Because most divorces happen either in the first 2 years or about 18 to 20 years, because they find themselves as strangers. They were talking through the kids, they were doing things. But the fourth one, Steve, fasten your seatbelt. Don't miss this one. Now, you're a long way from this, so I'm giving you advance notice. It has to be before she becomes a grandmother, because you can never compete with your grandkids. And if you don't sweep her off her feet And I have a chapter there where I talk about how we reenacted our honeymoon suite at an older age. And I can tell you this, Steve, we have more fun in our older years than we had it the first night. So the first one, you already have it. Another one before high school. Another one before the emptiness syndrome. And then another one before both of you become grandparents. But ideally, you should have a honeymoon every day. Every day.
Hey everyone, Steve Campbell. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If it's made an impact on you, I would love to take a moment to ask you to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. But I would also love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your ratings and review help other listeners know that this show is worth their time. So thank you so much for tuning into The One Big Thing, and let's enjoy the rest of the episode. Well, and you just kind of talked about that. You know, I think so many of us really want change to take place in our life, but we're not willing to change anything about how we go about our day. And so there's a hoping and a wishing. And I think when you're married, I know the enemy tries many times to point out that it's the other person's fault. Yeah. You know, as men, I know that we really appreciate honor and respect. And so when you don't feel you're receiving those things, then you may, you know, unintentionally withhold yourself from talking or communicating because you don't feel respected going out and making a paycheck or providing. And women want to have the protection and to know that they're loved and wanted after. And so I think many times what the enemy wants us to do is whisper, you know, if your spouse was just this way or just appreciated you more. Yeah. And many times we're waiting for a magical date night or a getaway to fix things. When what you just said is it's a daily decision to die to yourself, yeah, and to say, if I really do value my spouse, then I don't want it to end in divorce. Yeah. I don't want passion to not exist. Why? Because now this is bigger than me. I have children. And so I think if we are going to create a confident course for this new year, if you're acknowledging, if your marriage is in a great thriving place, keep doing what you're doing. But I know so many people over cups of coffee in small group that are my age that when you really get honest and open with each other, we'll say we are struggling as a couple.
Yeah.
We're not talking. And it's for many reasons, financial, you know, pressures or going to ball fields and feeling like you're running around. There is a busyness to life. And there's a book that I've been in the process of reading right now called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which just challenges all of us to think that the world is progressing so fast with technology and addiction of phones and schedules that we've lost the ability to slow things down and to really appreciate the simplicity of walking with the Lord, because we're going from the iPhone pinging or making a noise to an endorphin over here to this. And these are not bad things. They're not sinful. They're not evil, but they're distractions in the sense of wanting to ask the Lord, show me what to do. And as we're sitting there in silence, our phone vibrates and we have to pick it up to see what someone had to say. We are immediately out of it. And so I think many of us are wanting our marriages to be strong and healthy. We don't always know how to do it. And I don't know from what you just said, if it's this magical thing other than really asking the Lord, if there's anything that you can do personally to show your spouse love in a way that maybe you haven't been expressing. And that could be breakfast in bed. It could be making coffee in the morning. It could be listening. So, you know, anything else along those line, Eds, that even as you've ministered to your children or your older adult children or in ministry, you know, that can really help people.
Yeah. Well, I think, Steve, you mentioned dying to self, taking up your cross. I'd like to challenge that a little bit.
Sure.
Romance is pleasurable. Pleasurable. So redig the well. Go back to the days. You know, in the movie The Bachelor, I don't know if you watched that movie, this guy who is paranoid about getting married, and he's with a priest in a canoe here in San Francisco. And the priest, who was a widower and became a priest, tells him, there's something beautiful about getting married, because as you grow old, you are with someone that when he or she looks at you, sees what you still think you look like. And I think we need to go to the basic premise. You got married because you like each other, you desire each other, you were spending time together, and you were looking forward to something else. Key word, something else. Routine is what kills a marriage. Routine. So rekindling romance is not a chore. It's a joy. But we have to understand each other. We men are designed to be protectors and providers. Those are not the most mushy, touchy, feely thing, okay? You have to go out there and hit the world, okay? But compensate for that. When a man comes from work, he wants a report. How was your day, honey? How are the kids? Wrong thing. She wants a rapport. She wants empathy. She wants, I mean, before you open your mouth, come home and give her a passionate kiss. Excite her. I mean, you had it before. I mean, you haven't lost it. And the reality is that people that see their marriage withering, they're already passionate about someone else. Fantasizing initially, coqueteando, as we say, flirting, you know, why not with your wife? I had a guy, actually a minister, who was struggling with lust and he was bent on conquering romantically another lady. I said, why? Because my wife doesn't warm up. I said, well, why don't you make it your goal to seduce her the way you're trying to seduce someone else's wife? Why not? Take it like a challenge. And you know what, Steve? He did it, and he thanked me forever. He says, Ed, it's cheaper, it's legal, it doesn't cost me a divorce, and I'm having fun. So I would say, debunk the lie that love is dead. No. Love is dormant, but it's not dead. And begin to look at each other in the eye. Listen to the other person. Ruth and I have a picture of each other when we were 20 years old. And we have it by the bedside. And we maintain the practice to look at that picture. And that triggers the memories that come. The other thing to keep in mind, you know, left brain, right brain. Left brain is more cerebral, more objective, driven and so forth. Physiologically, the left and the right brain in the man is connected very thinly. In women, is wider, which allows women to go back and forth between the creative and the task thing. And that's why we have to compensate for that. One of my daughters says, Daddy, so-and-so, a son-in-law, called my husband to go to play tennis. And in 1 minute, they decided everything. When a woman calls a woman to do something, it takes half an hour because they talk what they're going to dress, who will be there, what happened with this, last time, will it rain? And so we need to make allowance as husbands that our wives want rapport rather than a report. That's what we did when we were dating. We listened to each other. And then I have a recipe on the book. Actually, it's on the Spanish version because I learned this after I published. 15 minutes a day for intimacy. Have a moment reading a passage together and praying. Then talk about something nice. Don't talk about a faucet that is leaky or the kids No. Talk about something nice. And number three, hug and kiss each other for at least a minute. Emotional. And that releases the oxytocin and the other hormones. And once you prime the pump, there is no stopping. But the basic premise, Steve, is this. Love doesn't die, becomes dormant. So look where you are. Are you worshiping something else? Are you depreciating your partner? Are you no longer admiring? Well, stop there, because the next step, you're going to withdraw. And even if you never file for divorce, you are divorced in your heart. But the key is the anointing. Anointing is the breath of God. Anointing is God. I will say to people that are listening to us, Steve, and I'm sorry about that phone there. I would like to say, ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you again. Mm-hmm. When God created Adam, he was a bunch of dead matter in the shape of a man. But when God blew into it, it became a living matter. And right now, people that are listening to the broadcast, God wants to breathe on you his anointing. Let the Spirit of God come upon you. And if you say, well, Ed, I don't know how it will happen. Well, you didn't know how it will happen and you got married anyway, right? It's not that you have to know, you have to agree. Mary asked the angel, how can this be? And the angel said, very simple, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will deposit a seed and that seed will grow. Now her uncle, Zechariah, also asked a question when he was told that a miracle baby was coming and he was given the shut up and sit down anointing. Why? Because Zechariah's premise was, how can I know? How can I be sure? Mary said, I'm perplexed. So I would say to the audience, right there where you are, say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I need it. You went to the doctor, he gave you a prescription, you have no clue how that medicine was put together, but you believe that it will help you. Receive the anointing. Receive a seed now in the name of Jesus.
Well, Ed, as we bring this episode to a close, I think about marriage is so important because I've had people come on and talk about health and fitness and, you know, being in your best, you know, shape. That is a very individualistic journey. Marriage is something that takes two people that are willing to work on it. And if you're needing a spark, I believe wholeheartedly that we want your marriage to thrive because your children depend on it, legacies depend on it, and you have an opportunity to turn things around no matter how bleak. But I also want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the fact that if it's okay, I'd love to actually close this episode out with just a simple prayer for those that are listening. Because I don't know where you've been in your faith journey. I don't know if you've been out of church for a long time. Maybe you've never had somebody pray for you. Let's just take a couple of seconds and say a prayer. And if you're driving in your car, please keep your eyes open. But if you are listening to this, just receive a simple prayer from Ed and I together. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you today. The podcasting is a great platform, Lord, to reach new people. And Lord, Ed and I just come together to speak life and favor and anointing over marriages today, no matter how they look or how it seems right now, how bleak. That God, that you would just breathe new life onto marriages and to help two people really become one in a way that they've never experienced. That's not a newness that they experienced just getting married and being on their honeymoon, but now after having children and having chapters of their life written, that it would be a deeper, more mature love and intimacy that grows because they've gone through a lot together. And so we just speak life and breath and anointing over the marriages and those that are listening to this, that 2025 and beyond would be your best years that are yet to come because you understand that you are deeply in love with your spouse and that's never changed. It doesn't go away. It stays dormant, as Ed said. So we just pray releasing now, Lord, over marriages that people would begin to see their spouse in just a new way, in a loving way, no matter what has happened in the past, that there would be forgiveness and grace and an opportunity to move forward. So we just release that blessing, as Ed said, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus, and thank you for it. Amen. And Ed, you know, I've never had a chance to talk to, I was trying to think of who you said at the beginning there with the accent, but this was such a good opportunity to connect with you, you know, to have this conversation. And I think you're really going to inspire a lot of people that have never heard from you before. So I would encourage you two great books that you can go pick up today that can help you in the marketplace, which is Anointed for Business. But also, if you are looking to have a spark in your marriage, let's pick up a copy of Anointed for Romance, because I think it can really transform not just your life, but legacies in generations to come. So, Ed, thank you for being my guest on the One Big Thing podcast, and I just appreciate your time,
brother. Thank you for inviting me. And let me say, the book is not just for married people. It's for single people to know that God has a GPS for them, that even if they take the wrong turn with a GPS, you get this message, rerouted. And why is it that you are not desperate? Because you know that the GPS will lead you to the right destination. So the book is for single people as well as for married people. May the Lord bless you, Steve, and your family, and the podcast. And people can get the book at transformourworld.org. Okay, yep. The resource area, we have it there.
And we'll have a link in the show notes. So until then, everybody have a prosperous and healthy new year, and may your best days be yet to come. Ed, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode today with Dr. Ed Savoso. Just a real treat for me anytime I get a chance to connect with Dr. Ed. But I hope that, again, it's New Year's Day or whenever you listen to this, that this episode today will inspire you, whether you're married or in the pursuit of marriage, that we want you to have healthy marriages. And, you know, we got an opportunity to pray with you there and just really pray a blessing and an anointing over you, your marriage, your children, to really make 2025 and beyond the healthiest you've ever been in your marriage, that there would be a spark, that it'd be ignited, that you'd really have context for what God wants to do in and through your marriage. I would encourage you in the show notes, go pick up a copy of Anointed for Romance. I've really enjoyed personally reading through this book, and I'll put contact information for Dr. Ed. But as always, appreciate you being a guest on the One Big Thing podcast. If there's topics or people you want to hear from, get in touch with me. Again, information will be in the show notes. But I hope that this episode today, albeit a little bit longer, can inspire you to move the ball forward in your marriage and in your life. So I appreciate you being a guest on the One Big Thing podcast.